we're going to say it, what we say, when we're going to say it. We have a lot of choices. One of the biggest things when we talk about it's about time is when we wake up. There's very few people I know that just wake up same time every day with no alarm clock, but there are some people like that. Most of us set an alarm clock. Now, let's be honest. We're in church, so we don't want to lie. How many hit the snooze button over and over and over again? Some of you guys can sleep through that, and some of you guys can't sleep through anything. My poor wife, my snooze goes on for an hour. I set it real early, so in case I get up early, I have my free time, and she has to listen to that, and I just hit it, and I just reach over. I need to put it out of reach or something. Thank you. But we constantly hit the snooze button. Well, unfortunately, many of us do that in our spiritual lives. We keep hitting our spiritual snooze button. God, you know, every time we hit our snooze button, mine's a 9-minute snooze. So every time we do that, you're postponing getting up and doing something 9 minutes. In our spiritual lives, we do that a lot of times by saying, well, I'll do that next week. Next month, I'll get involved. I'll go to church next week. I'll get up early for Bible study here. I'll go to this meeting there. And we have choices. We start this morning, 8:30 a.m., pastor study. We have a prayer meeting. Guess what? I slept through it today. I didn't even set my alarm, though, but I slept through it. I didn't make it up. Sorry, Pastor Jack. But that's a choice we have to make it at 8:30 every Sunday morning. You can come here and pray in Pastor Jack's study. 9 a.m., the praise team every Sunday meets up here and we practice. That's a choice we make. 9 a.m. every day. 9:45, the teens have a Bible study in the next room. 9 o'clock, there's Celebrate Recoveries for men and women in the different buildings. Those are choices we make to be here or not. 10:30 a.m., we start church. It's a choice. Every one of you made a choice to be here. There's many people obviously made a choice not to be here, not to come. Let me sleep in. Jack's talked about that before. That pillow's calling my name. Pillow is calling my name. And that's a choice we have. That's just one day in about a 2-hour span from 8:30 to 10:30. We have choices of different things we want to attend. And so we have to wake up and say, where will I step in? When will I quit hitting my spiritual snooze button? When we look at the story in Luke chapter 10, again, it's a familiar one. We've all read it before. But I want to look at it a little bit differently. Verse 38, excuse me. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, talking about Mary and Martha. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. I remember listening to Pastor Jack talk about this passage before and said, could you imagine telling Jesus what to tell somebody? And I thought, man, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I wouldn't want to tell Jesus, tell my sister to get busy up here, help me out. So today we're going to look at which one are you? Are you Mary or are you Martha? And I think there's a nice combination of both of those. But if you're one or the other, some people have trouble. If you're Martha, you have trouble with Mary's. And if you're Mary, you have trouble with Martha's a lot of times. Well, actually, Mary may not have trouble with much of anything because she's at the feet of Jesus, just soaking in his every word. So we need to look and see, are we Martha? It's about time. Martha looks at it and says, it's about time. It's about time you got up here, started helping me out. Help me serve. Let's get busy doing this. We got dinner to prepare. We have the house to get cleaned up. Jesus is coming. Let's get busy. It's about time you help me out. Mary's on the other hand saying, man, it's about time. Jesus is coming. Jesus is here. It's about time. Let's sit and hear what he has to say to us. So where we put the emphasis on how we make that phrase is where we put the emphasis on how we serve. It's about time you help me. It's about time. Or it's about time. Let's sit and listen. It's about time. The emphasis is on time and what we do with our time and how we spend it. The other one is more about keeping busy when you say it's about time. You want to keep busy. Many of us can identify with Martha. We're busy cleaning. We're busy cleaning at the house. We're busy serving at church. Many of us can identify with Mary. Hey, we just want to sit and soak it all in. We want to socialize. We want to fellowship with other people. We want to hear their story. We want to talk to them. By the way, Jack, this is just a little weird. I'm not sure where to face talking to these folks. But we want to sit and be with people because that's what's important. If they're gone tomorrow, cleaning that house really didn't matter at that point. We've all seen things like that, heard of it. Some of us may have experienced that. We got busy doing things, and then somebody's taken from us. And we think, man, why did we spend our time doing that? I was busy working my tail off so I could get money so we could do stuff in the future. Well, what about now? How are you spending your time now? Now, sometimes we need to make temporary sacrifices. We may need to work a lot to pay off debt or do other things or get things caught up or do something that is special. But when we spend a lot of time doing that and it's not a temporary fix, then our priorities, as Kisha said, our priorities get out of whack. What we do with Christ, and this will be important, what we do with Christ is so much more important than what we do for Christ. When we come here and we do things with Christ, when we ask Christ questions, when we talk to Christ, that's so much more important than coming here and being about the busy work. Now, there is busy work in taking care of God's house. Those people need to clean this, set up the chairs, do all the different functions that we did this past week and every week. So it's important that we understand that there are people that need to keep busy. But let's look at a couple questions. The first one, as I just said, was, do you identify more with Mary or Martha? I want you guys to think about that. Do you identify more with Mary or Martha? Being about the busy work or being about sitting at the feet of Jesus, soaking it in? And then as you reflect on that, think about that statement I just said. What we do with Christ is so much more important than what we do for Christ. We get so busy with our agenda, sometimes we forget about slowing down for Jesus. Even though we think, hey, we're doing this in the name of Jesus, we just forget to stop and talk to Jesus and listen to Jesus. And by the way, some of us always talk to Jesus, and we need to slow down and listen to what Jesus has to say to us. Jesus, I tell you what, this life, things are going wrong. Jesus, I thank you. Jesus, you know, what a blessing. Jesus, where's my blessing? Jesus. But we never slow down. We're just going. And we don't slow down and say, okay, Jesus, what do you want to tell me to do here? Okay, Jesus, I didn't hear you. Okay, I'll move on. So, Jesus, sometimes we need to take a little bit of extra time slowing down to hear what Jesus has for us. Busy servants aren't always devoted servants. There's a big difference. Be in the workplace, be in the church. Busy servants aren't always devoted servants. There's a big difference. You know, by the way, good intentions aren't the same as being busy. So when we have good intentions to do things, if we haven't done it, that's not the same as being busy about God's work. We have to follow through with those intentions. Now, sometimes somebody else beats us to it, and there's other things that come, but we need to pass those good intentions off. I was going to do it. If you find out you can't do it, pass that off. Tag somebody else off and let them finish and follow through with that work. Because we do need to get the work done. You know, Mary was a devoted servant. She sat at the feet of Jesus. She was concerned about being in His presence. And then Martha was so busy being about the work that she couldn't slow down and hear what Jesus had to say. Mary knew what He was about, and she wanted to soak all that in. Jesus doesn't want our activity first. He doesn't want to see us being busy all the time. He doesn't want our activity first, no matter what the intention. Jesus wants our affection. Jesus wants our heart. He wants to talk to our heart. He wants us to open our heart and let Him in there. And so many times, We get so busy doing the other things, we get involved with the activity of it. You know, I listened to the music. Pastor Jack shared some of his music with me the other day on the CD. And just hearing that, I thought, wow, I got tears in my eyes. Some of it was just jamming, and some of it was slow and beautiful. It brought tears to my eyes, and I pictured so many different things. And I thought, wow, when he laid that down, it's an activity to do, but he's involved in what he was doing and what he was going to do with that. And I can't wait for that. You know, I can't wait. I said, well, I'll take a few of those CDs. I got people that can hear that stuff. You can feel his heart in there. You can feel his affection for that. Not just the activity of doing a CD, but you can hear his heart and his affection for doing that and who he's doing it for. We get busy about that stuff. You know, so many times we come here for spiritual growth. And I'll share something at the end about spiritual growth. But we come here and we want spiritual growth. We want to deepen our prayer life. And we say, man, I don't get it, I don't get it, I don't get it. And we're so busy about, you know, going about the church business. And again, church has a lot of activities, but we get so consumed with that that we miss our spiritual growth. We miss the ability to grow spiritually. I can't be in there, can't be in that Bible study, I'm doing this, can't be involved in that, doing this, can't be in there, and the message doing this. And we get so involved in the church business or being busy at church that we miss our opportunity for spiritual growth, to deepen our prayer life. It's about time. How are you guys spending your time? How are we all spending our time? How am I spending my time? Many people think, well, while I come serve and I'm buying my spiritual growth. And when I say that, I'm not talking about prayer or faith necessarily. I'm talking about churches everywhere. You read magazine articles, you read books, you just hear people speak. My father was a pastor. I've seen it firsthand. People buy their spiritual growth by their busyness. But how many know they're not buying it up in heaven? They're just buying it here on earth, so they think. Because the Bible tells us that we can't do that just by our works. We can't get into heaven by our works. Question number two, what are you busy with that interferes with your time with God? Now, this may take a second for people to slow down and be honest about it. And we'll try and rationalize it or prioritize it. Say, yeah, but I have to do this because what are you busy with that interferes with your time with God? We don't want to just work for Christ. You can work for Christ all day long, but if you're not spending time with Him, there's a big difference. There's a big difference. You don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ just by working for Him. You have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ when you work for Him and spend time with Him. You know, Eric was talking about feeding the football team the other day. It's a lot of work. Getting ready for spirit stock was a lot of work. Just doing our activities, our various ministries that we all do, preparing for a Celebrate Recovery class, or a Bible study, or the King's Kids, Children's Church, all of that takes time. It takes time, it takes effort. And he was talking about that, and I came in here, and I left work a little early that day, and I set half of the tables up in the chairs. He said, man, you did that by yourself? I said, you know, it's all about serving. And then we went to the football game. And now with Laren and Band, Eric is a band booster now. My wife is a president of band booster, so of course she's soliciting help. So there's Mr. Ferguson. So we're down on the field, and we're helping take these props out on the field. He said, this is kind of cool. And let me tell you guys, serving other people is cool. That's fun. It's hard work, but it's fun. When you do it for other people, and when your heart's in it that you're doing it for somebody else, it's fun stuff. It's rewarding. It's very difficult at times. It can be frustrating. But it is so rewarding when you do it with the right heart. When you have Jesus in your heart, and you have Jesus in your mind, and you're serving other people, that's great. I said, just wait till the contest comes, you know, and you're out there all day, and you're in there, and you're getting your bald head sunburned. And it's great. And then the kids, if they lose the contest, then you're sad with them. If they win, you're happy with them. We serve Wednesday night with the teens. It's awesome. We love it. When you serve other people and you do it for the right reasons, you'll get great joy out of that, even though it's hard work. So let's find out what we're busy with that interferes with our time with God. A lot of times we're choosing what we think we need to do for Jesus' sake, and it just isn't that way. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." So as we reflect on that and what we do with our time, let's just be still for a minute and know that He is God and listen to Him rain down on the building. Let's just take a moment, and you can close your eyes, you can keep them open and look around, but we're just going to take a minute and be still and know that He is God. That's 1 minute. 1 minute out of our day that we spent being silent, being in God's presence. For some of us, that seemed like 10 seconds. For others, it seemed like 10 minutes. That's 1 minute being silent with God, listening to God, being still, knowing that He is God. And so many times we miss that. We take our time and we involve it with so many busy activities, with our family, with school, with work, with activities outside of that, be it school activities or private activities. And our busyness can cover up our fear of stillness sometimes. Our fear of silence. What are we afraid of when we're silent? Maybe what God's going to say to us. Maybe God's going to show us something, reveal something to us about ourselves. Maybe God's going to reveal something about somebody else, but we don't want to hear it. Maybe we're afraid God wants to do something with us. Tell us something, use us somehow, and we're afraid to be used for His purpose because it'll interfere with our time. Maybe we're afraid He's going to show us that our time with Him is weak and shallow. Now, many of us have a deep relationship with God, and others it's just kind of shallow and superficial, and we don't mean for it to be. We just don't know how to make it deeper. We don't know how to take it to that next level. We're afraid maybe God will expose us to other people. Being a weak and shallow Christian, maybe not knowing as much as they do. Maybe if I keep busy, they'll think I'm a deep, deep Christian. And yet they may not say one prayer a week unless it's, "Dear God, thank You for this food, amen." We can't be afraid of being exposed to other people. You know, there's a Bible study, a book out there, Bible Study for Dummies. Yeah, I looked at it. I didn't get it. It was too complicated for me, so I skipped it. And I've just got to fumble through and do my own thing. But there's a book out there called Bible Study for Dummies. So God knows people, all the people don't get it. Okay, sorry about that. It just was too much. But we can't be afraid of God exposing us for our weaknesses. You know, that's when we get stronger, when we expose our weaknesses, and we can start building on that. Number three, what choices do you need to make so that you can experience more intimacy with God? What choices do you need to make so that you can experience more intimacy with God? Maybe slowing down or stopping an activity to set some time to be still with God. And then what do we do with that time? Then we stop and we listen to God speak to us. There's a certain point where we'll talk to God, but there's a certain point you need to stop and listen to God. And let Him speak to your heart. Let Him speak in your heart. And then it's time to be honest with God. In our prayers and our worship, the time that we have communion with Him. Here's a little story that somebody wrote, kind of almost a prayer. It says, Dear Savior, at whose feet I now sit, when you knock on the door to my heart, what is it you're looking for? What is it you want? Is it not to come in and dine with me? Is it not for fellowship? And yet so often, where do you find me? At your feet? No, I'm in the kitchen. How many times have I been become distracted and left you there sitting, waiting, and longing? You waiting on me. What is so important about my kitchen full of preparations that draws me away from you? How come they seem so trivial now, yet so urgent when I'm caught up in them? Forgive me for being much distracted by my preparations and so little attracted by your presence. For being so diligent in my duties and so negligent in my devotion. For being so quick to my feet and so slow to your feet. Help me understand that it is an intimate moment you seek for me, not the elaborate meal for me. Not the elaborate meal. And again, we do that many times when we reflect when God calls somebody home. How could I be so distracted at the time and so called into other activities? And yet now that you're gone, those activities seem irrelevant, unimportant. We're going to take one more minute of silence. I want everyone just to pray silently. We won't have the prayer partners up here yet. We're just about done. But let's just take a minute to pray with God in silence, and reflect on Him being God. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Think about our time and what we're doing with our time and how you spend your time. As we close, I want to share one other story, and I hope you guys understand where it's coming from and what it means. It's called Self-Serve. One day a grandfather told his grandchildren about his journey to America. He told of being processed at Ellis Island and how he had gone to a cafeteria in Lower Manhattan to get something to eat. There he sat down at an empty table and waited quite some time for someone to take his order. But nobody came. Finally, a woman with a tray full of food sat down opposite him and explained to him how a cafeteria works. She said, "You start at the end," pointing toward a stack of trays, "and then you go along the food line and you pick out what you want. at the other end, they'll tell you how much you have to pay. The grandfather reflected a moment and then said, I soon learned that's how everything works in America. Life is a cafeteria here. You can get anything you want, even great success, if you're willing to pay the price. But you'll never get what you want if you wait for someone to bring it to you. You have to get up and get it yourself. The difference between where you are and where you want to be can often be summed up in one word, work. Sometimes we wait to be fed. We come in here to our cafeteria and we wait for somebody to feed us. And sometimes we don't think the food is very good, and sometimes we just think, feed me, come serve me. But in the cafeteria style, we have to get up out of our chairs every once in a while and go get our own food, and we have to go after, and we have to go find it and quit waiting for somebody to hand it to me. So I hope you understand where I'm going with that story. Sometimes we have to get up out of our chair. Guys, it's about time. How are we going to spend our time? Dear Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather today. We just thank you for the rain that you're pouring down today, for all the blessings that that brings to people. God, I consider it an honor and a privilege to serve you and to serve your kingdom in whatever way you call me to do. Sometimes not a convenient time. Sometimes on my day off. Sometimes in the morning. Sometimes late at night. But I consider it an honor and a privilege to serve you. God, I just ask that you take each person here, including myself, and you just make us reflect on what we do with our time, what's important to us. God, that we don't sit here all the time waiting to be fed, but understand that sometimes we need to stand up and get fed and go feed ourselves. We need to go after the food and not wait for somebody to serve us and hand it to us. Sometimes we get busy going about our preparations in the kitchen, preparing the meal, and Jesus is right there at our feet, waiting for us to be at His feet. God, forgive us for those times that we get caught up and we don't slow down. And we don't see Jesus in other people. And we don't kneel at their feet to serve them and to listen to them. God, I just ask if there's people here today that want to strengthen their relationship. Maybe they have things hindering their relationship with God. Busyness gets in the way. That they could come forward today and just release that, acknowledge that, find out how to start that journey to spiritual growth. As we have prayer needs, we can take that before you and not be afraid that others will think we're weak or out of control. That they'll understand. We can't fix everything ourselves, God. And we just call on your name right now, Lord, to come and help us. Sometimes we're overwhelmed. Sometimes work overwhelms us. Relationships overwhelm us. School overwhelms us. Financial matters overwhelm us, God. And God, today we just ask that you take those from us. Take those off us. And you lighten the load that's on our back. Father, we just thank you for the price your Son Jesus paid on the cross. Every foul word out of our mouth, Lord. Every inappropriate act, Lord. Everything that goes against your teachings, Lord. Everything we do. Inappropriate relationships. Behaviors. Conversations. Activities. Your Son died on the cross for those reasons. We ask you to release us from those activities, from those conversations, from those words, from the character that doesn't glorify you. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. We're going to have a baptism today. Do we have any announcements before we get started on that? I think you put the leadership meeting at a different time. That should be in the bulletin. Can anyone confirm that? Anyone? Bueller? Jack, is a leadership meeting different time today? Okay. All right, we're going to have a baptism. And
did you get Adam's question today?